This indeed is Mother's Day, and we celebrate Mother's Day here in America, and a lot of places around the world do right along with us. Mothers have been celebrated. Mothers have been the ones who've actually kept the world together and civilization with some sense of sanity throughout the centuries. If you're not a mother personally, we have all had mothers. And even if your mother wasn't perfect, we just celebrated communion, so you have to forgive her. But we have others who have helped us in our faith, mothers in our faith. Mothers in Israel is a phrase in the Bible, or a phrase we use, meaning mothers who care, who pray, who support, guide, and who love. And let's just talk a little bit about mothers from God's perspective, and then we're going to talk about Hannah from the Bible this morning. She's a fantastic example for us. But there's been a vicious onslaught, frankly, for about the last 40 years to attempt to portray Christianity as oppressive to women. In actuality, women in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New, have an elevated place and a place of power, of authority and position, and are heirs together with men of the grace of life. The Bible elevates the place of women. Now, male understanding that detracts from what the Bible teaches to put women in their place is ungodly and wicked. Women are not only accepted, but are wonderful and loved in Christianity. And you're hard-pressed to find in the Bible anywhere close to what a lot of people and a lot of places in the world say for the woman's place. Now, we may all have different responsibilities as men and women, but we are heirs together of the grace of life. Somebody say amen this morning. I, for one, am so grateful for the women involved in my life. I'm grateful for you ladies here. Come on, guys, turn to the ladies around the room. Nothing weird now and say, I'm grateful for you. All right. Let's just talk quickly about a position in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for mother is dam, or mater. And her position in the Old Testament, women were on the same social plane as the men. They often occupied leading public positions. I'm just going to summarize this quickly. You'll find that in the book of Exodus chapter 15, Judges chapter 4, and 2 Kings. The love of offspring, of children, was deeply embedded in the heart of Hebrew women. And thus motherhood was highly respected, in fact so strongly desired. You find that among the patriarchal women, the ancient patriarchs, especially the mothers, occupy a prominent place. Somebody remember Jacob and Rebekah? Remember when Rebekah was asked to go join Jacob, it was Laban and her mother that had the strongest say about what to say about it. Her brother also. But Jacob obeyed his father and his what? His mother. And his mother was evidently his chief counselor. The law of the scripture actually puts a child under obligation to honor father and mother. Father and
mother.
The child that strikes the father or mother or curses either of them in the Old Testament was punished by death. The same fate overtook the one who was habitually disobedient to mother and to father. The psalmist actually says that there's the deepest grief is identified by one who mourns for his mother. And the greatest comfort imaginable is where a mother comforts the son, if you take a look at Isaiah 66. In the New Testament, you come along, and the birth of Christ lifts motherhood even more to the highest possible plane and made it something wonderful for all time. And the last thing that Jesus did on the cross, how many remember, was to make sure his mother was cared for by John the Beloved. There's an equal win there. John had a wonderful mother to care for, and the wonderful mother had a son to watch over her and to watch out for her. The scripture clearly says women's place is equal to that of man, and there may be, again, different responsibilities. If you don't believe me, take a look at Proverbs 31 and study it out sometimes. Proverbs 31 woman, the Proverbs 31 woman is an absolutely powerful, dynamic woman who prepares. She's up late, goes to bed at night, reminds me of my wife, Gail. Frankly, I was married for 24 years before she passed away. And she was up early and she was up late. She's caring for her family. But the Bible talks about in Proverbs 31, she's industrious, she's working, she's inheriting, she's scoping out proper purchases for real estate, all sorts of things the Proverbs 31 woman was involved in. Let's take an example this morning from the Scriptures, and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you're already there, we're going to begin in verse 1. What I'm going to do is we're going to take this section by section as we study Hannah as a model for us. And Hannah will model response to God. Please, Pat, we'll use those Scriptures. Hannah's deepest longings. I'm going to do a 5-point sharing about Hannah this morning. And first, we're going to begin with Hannah's deepest longings. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, and I'm going to summarize verse 1 some. Now, there was a certain man, his name was Elkanah, an Ephraimite. On to verse 2. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had, say it with me, no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Whenever the time came for Elkanah, verse 4, to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife, to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give what? A double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now in the Hebrew nation, every woman wanted to bear a child. You find most women today, or many women today, have the same kind of situation or desire or longing. But in the Hebrew culture, every woman wanted the opportunity to bear the Messiah. There was a Messiah, the anointed one, who was to come. And every woman wanted that opportunity. They say, or some commentators agree, that polygamy in the Old Testament was only allowed when the first wife was not able to bear children. And so then the husband was able to have a second wife who could produce children for his family, offspring to work the field and all of those kinds of things. Some say that was the case here with Hannah. Hannah was the first wife, deeply loved, and she was yet unable to bear. Each woman wanted that opportunity. Now, interestingly, the writer in here helps the reader understand the issue immediately. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, Hannah, precious woman of God, loved of the Lord, loved of her husband. He says instead, Hannah had no children. One of the first things he cuts to the point right there with his readers who will understand exactly what he's talking about. Now, the precious women who are among us, you are not identified by whether or not you have children. You are accepted and loved by God and loved by everyone here. Doesn't matter if you have kids. Thank God if you do. Thank God if you don't. Some of you are going, yeah, thank God I didn't. No, we're grateful if there are or not. But you're not identified by whether or not you have children. You're identified before the Lord as who you are by Him. Now, it's a great gift. I have three sons. I'm grateful for them. My wife loved them dearly. Still does. Praying for them, I'm sure, right now. Praying for her husband right now, I'm sure. Help this guy, Lord, help him. Anyway, so what do we find out, though? A couple of things right in this first section of Scripture. They were believers, and they were worshipers. They loved the Lord, that's what the Bible says, and they came to worship Him. It was their habit. It was their perspective. They made that annual trip to go worship Him and to sacrifice. They were devoted. Second thing you noticed immediately is that Hannah was deeply loved by who? By her husband, Elkanah. This man didn't hesitate to show that Hannah was his priority. But Hannah had a loving mother's heart and a longing to give that love away. Mothers and mothers in Israel give love away. Now, when I use the phrase mothers in Israel this morning, I'm speaking of every woman who cares for people in the faith and in the Lord. How many of you have had more than one mother? I don't mean biologically, but you're grateful that there's been the influence of other women in your life. Come on, let me see your hands. Sure. There are mothers in Israel, people who have cared for you. And this is Mother's Day. On Father's Day, guys, you get your turn, but this is Mother's Day. Mothers and mothers in Israel, their deepest longings wrapped up in children, powerful women not identified solely by their children, but wrapped up in the fiber of their being is that heart to love and to give that love away. So intertwined in their soul to give love away to sons, daughters, friends, children in the faith. Hannah's deepest longing. Secondly, Hannah's deepest torment. Hannah's deepest torment. Watch what the scripture says, starting in verse 6. Her rival also provoked her, what's the word? Severely to what? Make her miserable. There's a fun family. How'd you like to live in that family? How many think you did? You grew up in that family. Live to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she, meaning Hannah now, wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Listen, how precious. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? The word provoked here in the Hebrew is the word ka'as. Say with me, ka'as. You're a Hebrew scholar, ka'as. And it means to trouble, to grieve, to create rage, to make the other person indignant. That's what that word means. She literally created a rage inside of Hannah. I can't impress upon you the depth of the word and that meaning enough. She created rage. She started a fire within her, and it burned within Hannah as she was pushed and pushed. Anybody ever had that in your life? Somebody knows exactly how to push your buttons. Don't look around at anybody. But have you ever had that? Somebody knows exactly how to push their buttons. You know, the old phrase used to be, man, they can really get your goat. And the Lord looks at you and says, that's because you still got a goat to get. So I'll let them keep doing it. Oh, Lord. Anyway, some people are like that. And Penina was making her miserable on purpose. Provoked her, pushed her, shamed her, and taunted her. Now we got to be honest, ladies, don't we? Sometimes women can be the cruelest to other women. All right, I'm not seeing many women's eyes right now. Sometimes you could be the cruelest to each other. Or that was before you got saved. I know that. Sometimes members of one's own family can create some heartache. Verse 6 out of the King James. Watch this. Verse 6. Her adversary, is who Penina is called, uses the word adversary, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. The word adversary is sarah, and it means tightness, trouble, literally female rival. Provoked her sore. And the Hebrew word there for sore is ra'am. Say with me, ra'am. And that literally, she provoked her sore. Listen to what it means. It was, the word means made her tumble and be violently agitated, specifically to crash or thunder, to irritate with anger. Penina basically was a bully to Hannah. She was a bully to her. Now, on her behalf, probably you can determine along with me as you read the scriptures, Penina undoubtedly had her own issues. It would be hard to not be loved. And it was very evident she wasn't loved as much as Hannah. That still doesn't give, no matter what you've been through, doesn't give you liberty or license to treat other people with cruelty, does it? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We still are called to love other people, but undoubtedly she had her own issues. But she taunted her and created for Hannah a deep vexation of soul, her deepest torment. Now, can I ask you some honest questions? Ever been through trouble? My friends, right? We got trouble, right here in River City. That starts with T, that rhymes with B, or it stands, you know, it rhymes with pool, or it stands for pool. It's really nice if I'm going to quote that I get it right, isn't it? All right. What do we like to do for each other because we're friends? We like to help each other through the tough times, don't we? Anybody in this room, you see your friend going through a tough time, you don't want him to go through it, right? Let me take that burden from you. Look around at each other. Some of you ladies ought to say, I don't want your burden. No, we carry burdens for each other. We do. We want to make life better. And how many of you know you just can't do it all the time? I would love to take your burden from you, but I just can't do it all the time. So the Lord knows that. Do you think that God loves you enough to allow you a little burden in your life that someone can't take away? What do you mean love? That's not love. The Lord knows how to love us just right, doesn't He? He knows how to allow something in our life to bring us where? To our knees. To Him. To make us needy. How many of you think if you never had a need in your life, you'd really be needy for God? Did you come to Jesus when you were a winner or when you were needy? The Bible says basically, I don't have the scripture address, but the Bible basically says there aren't many winners who come to Christ. There are people who are needy that come to Jesus. I'm one. Okay, anybody else in this room? Let's just show hands. Come on. All right. Now look, when the Lord withholds that which seems or is most important from you, it is so He can be most important to you. He allows a test and some heartache to teach us and to bring us to Himself. To teach us how to depend on Him. All right? So, Hannah's deepest torment. Hannah's deepest prayer. In the midst of this agony, what did she do? Did she plot revenge? Violence? Murder? Did she get back at Peninnah? Sometimes we need to do exactly what Hannah did. Let's watch. Starting in verse 9. So Hannah arose after they'd finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in, say it with me please, bitterness of soul, and prayed. And what?
Prayed.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What'd you do?
Prayed.
To the Lord, and wept in anguish. Verse 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. Basically, he will be a Nazarite. The Nazarite vow. Remember who others, which others were Nazarites? Anybody remember? Samson. That's right. Samson and Samuel. Okay. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was what? Coming to the house of the Lord, plowed again, huh? So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Hannah didn't deny the deepest longing of her soul. She didn't try to pretend it was no longer important to her. She poured it out to God. How many know that that's what David did all through the Psalms? The Psalms were David's complaint, many of them, to the Lord. That's why you see things in the Psalms, wonderful, sweet little promise verses like, Lord, kill all my enemies. A little joke, but you see that, don't you? David pours out his complaint, get him, God! And by the time he's done pouring out his complaint, usually he ends with a verse of praise as God brings him through this. The way to deal and deliver the burden of your heart is to pour it out to God. Tell him about it. Don't deny it. Don't crush it. Don't throw it away. But there are loads that your friends can't carry that only God can. Verse 10 is the key. Look at it out of the message. Out of the message version. If you'll lift that up, please, Pat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. She wept and she cried out loud. And basically her prayer was this, see me, Lord. Look at me. Look at me. Don't forget me. Don't set me aside. God, please, see me now. Anybody have a burden like that as you're going through any tough times in your life? See me, Lord. This trial you're going through, God's going to show you just what to do. I don't know what's going wrong, but I know it won't last too long. Because God cares. In our times of deepest need, it's not time to go gambling or get stoned or get drunk or escape into sin. It's time to let that issue drive you to Jesus. He sees you. He knows exactly who you are. Have you ever had a burden so deep you didn't know how to put words to it? That's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit is for. Speaking in tongues and letting the Holy Spirit pray through you. The Scripture says in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Eli thought she was drunk. She was so pouring her soul out to God. But she answered him honestly, I have a vexation of my spirit, and I've simply been honest to God. Hannah's deepest prayer. One of the things that our mothers do, and that mothers in Israel do for their children in the faith, is teach us how to pray. Mothers in Israel model prayer for the rest of us. How often throughout history do we see fantastic women of prayer? We men, come on guys, we all think we got it in control, right? Amen. Or we're going to work on it till we fix it, right guys? Come on. Your wife ever come pour her heart out to you and you try to fix her? How'd she respond? I don't want you to fix me. I want you to hear me. And guys say, I'm incapable. All I do is fix things. Listen, we think we've got it in control and we think we fix it. But I dare say that through the centuries, peace has been restored or peace has come to end wars because the women of God were praying. Thank God for somebody praying for you. Amen? Amen. Do they have a tangible role to play beyond prayer? Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying men and women of God are women of God and mothers in Israel. Thank God for their prayers. We men can learn a lot from you by your quick turning to God in prayer. All right? Hannah's deepest prayer. Now Hannah's deepest trust. Say with me, Hannah's deepest trust. Verse 18. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. They did. Not just the guy by himself, but they did. You think that included Hannah? They rose early the next morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time. In the process of time. Say it with me, please. In the process of time. I want you to say it one more time, and I really want you to boom it out. In the process of time. How many understand prayer is not always instantly answered? Sometimes we pray and we commit it to the Lord, and we're tempted to take it back again because that answer didn't come right when I needed it right now. How many know you know better than God what your need is? Or it feels like that, don't we? Come on, Lord, I need it, and I need it now. And God says, okay, well, let's work on that patient's problem. No, please don't work on the patient's problem. I'm patient enough. I need the answer now. The process of time. Powerful. Came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived, bore a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Her response really is beautiful and sounds like Mary, doesn't it, in the New Testament, when she was promised Jesus, let your handmaiden find grace in your sight. But take a look, church, at how she responded to the word of the Lord. No proof. But you know when you pour your complaint out to God and you give it to Him, you get up and go on. She didn't wrestle with doubt. Say with me this phrase. God says it. That settles it. God says it. That settles it. One more time. God says it. That settles it. Turn to each other and say that same phrase. Now there used to be a poster. There used to be a poster that says, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. How many understand God says it, and that settles it. I just get the choice of believing it. I get the choice of receiving it. But folks, when God says it, it's done. I said, when God says it, it's done. Preach it, Pastor Kev. When God says it, it's done. She responded, no proof. No proof. But she got up and her countenance was no longer sad. She got up the next morning and she worshiped. She got up every day thereafter knowing that God says it and that settles it. Now, I happen to believe that she would have gone on to be a worshiper had God not answered this specific prayer with children. But God met her in the cry of her heart. She didn't wrestle with doubt. Mothers and mothers in Israel, teach us how to give it to God. Can I be honest with you? Anybody in this room ever have a tug of war with God? Give it to Him, take it back. Give it to Him, take it back. Give it to Him, take it back. I've done that. Lots of times. Turn to each other and say, you don't look like it, but I know you've done that too. Give it to Him, take it back. Give it to Him, take it back. Leave it with Him. She got up and she said, okay, time to rejoice again. It's time to go on. It's time to trust God. We're going to make it. And God did answer her prayer. And it wasn't instant. It took some more time. But God's way and God's timing is perfect. Our understanding isn't, but His is. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Please read this out loud with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I've watched mothers in Israel pray for their kids, for their husbands, for people they're concerned for years and years of prayer. Always be grateful, no matter who you are in this room, that you had a grandmother or a mother or a wife or someone praying for you. Fifth, Hannah's deepest surrender. Verse 21. Hannah's deepest surrender. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Remain there how long?
Forever.
And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish His word. There's a believing home. Amen? Only let the Lord establish His word. So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him with her. With three bulls, one ephah of flour, a skin of wine, she brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, some say about three, some say a little bit older. They slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of Him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. Now you may say, this sounds crazy. This is the son for whom she prayed so earnestly, for whom she cried out to God. But Hannah understood something. You give God your best. You don't give God the leftover. You don't give God what's just hanging around. Hannah understood you give God the very best. The what?
The very best.
How many know you can never outgive God? And now we're going to take up an offering. No, I'm kidding. You give Him the best, not what's left over. My mother prayed for me as I was being delivered by a drunken doctor. Breach. Yellow jaundice, scarred by instruments. She said, Kevin, I didn't know whether to love you or feel sorry for you. It's been like that ever since. No, I'm kidding. And she prayed. She said, Jesus, I give him to you. If you'll let him make it, he's yours. Most of the time, that's been fulfilled. in my life. Through all the years of turmoil and pain, I had a mother for as long as she lived, prayed every day for me, earnestly. For every day for the 24 years I was married, before my wife passed away, I was blessed to be a man who had a mother in Israel pray for him. She prayed for me every single day. Women of faith, women of God, mothers, mothers in Israel. We have in this church Pastor Sherry, who serves as a wonderful example as a mother in Israel to the church, praying for you constantly. Pastor Carl joins her in those prayers. Their grandchildren call them Papa and Baba. So, Papa and Baba of God, we appreciate it. One of the most tender-hearted expressions in the Scripture, in the Bible, is the story of Hannah taking a robe that she makes for her little son and takes it to him once a year as she visits him, as he's serving the Lord with Eli. You say to me, Kevin, how could she just leave her child there? Because she'd given him to God. Now remember, the culture's a little different. I'm not expecting any little children at my door. I have two little doggies, that's enough. But she'd given him to God. His name was Samuel. Because she gave him to the Lord so beautifully, he became one of Israel's greatest prophets. Her giving him back to God with no strings attached has blessed all of the centuries since then. We're blessed today by the ministry of Samuel because Hannah cried out to God and was a mother in Israel. All because a mother in Israel prayed. In return, let's take a look at chapter 2, verse 21, as we see what the Lord did for Hannah. As she was answered and met by God, she was not forgotten by Him. She gave Him the very best to God. And let's see what He did. Read out loud with me, verse 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Church, look out. When a mother in Israel prays, God is going to move. Amen. Ladies, we're grateful for you this day. Grateful for your prayers, your faith before the Lord. We thank you for praying and being God's women. Keep praying, and we'll always be grateful for you for doing it. Happy Mother's Day. And everybody said,